few weeks ago, a member of our congregation, I'll tell you who it was Jocelyn, she said to me, you know, John, you should preach a sermon on queue jumpers, on the theme of those refugees who show up at our borders in Manitoba or Quebec after walking through the woods, and then they walk into our country and present themselves to the police in order to be arrested, and then they are refugees in Canada. Jocelyn pointed out that on the one hand, here at Lawrence Park Community Church, we're sponsoring a refugee family, the Hiranis, and she loves that. But she's also a little bit frustrated, not sure how to proceed, because we responded to the government's plea for sponsors. We did so in a timely fashion. We raised money to support the project, more than enough. And using social media, we're even now getting to know the Hirani family that we have sponsored. In fact, I'm going to see them in Istanbul next week on my layover, which is quite exciting. But nearly 2 years after we applied, the family has still not arrived. Why? Well, the reasons are complex, but a key factor is that once the promised 35,000 refugees arrived, the government of Canada withdrew all of its extra immigration workers from the front lines in the Middle East. And now there are not enough immigration officers to process the thousands of Syrian refugees that Canadians have lined up for beyond the 35,000. So we wait, full of patriotic pride, true north compassion, strong and free like Canadians. We even wait somewhat patiently. But it's a bureaucratic mess, and all of our amazing Cecilia's phone calls and letters and emails and meetings with Rob Oliphant, he sees her coming already, our MP. I mean, in spite of Cecilia's amazing work, it seems like we can't put that mess together again. Still, you know, there is a critical need for Canada to accept more refugees. There are now 60 million refugees in the world, and that is double the number of only 5 years ago. Meanwhile, Syria burns, as do half a dozen other Middle Eastern and African nations, the source of most of these refugees. Tens of millions of people are on the move right now. They're trying to escape violence. They're trying to escape climate change. They're trying to escape droughts. They're trying to escape starvation and repression. Europe has already taken in at least 2 million of them. That kind of puts Canada's 45,000 refugees into perspective, doesn't it? In the meantime, some of those millions of refugees, a few thousand last year, have crossed over the USA border into Canada to claim asylum here. These refugees somehow escaped fields that their home countries had, which no longer grew crops. They escaped cities burned to the ground. They escaped skies that would not turn dark with rain. They have escaped terrorists who run their nations. These refugees have somehow avoided boarding boats that would go on to sink in the Mediterranean, prison-like refugee camps along the way, and American immigration police, ICE. They've braved all that, and finally, they've stepped into Canada and gladly turned themselves over to Canadian police. Sometimes these refugees are called queue jumpers. Sometimes they're called undocumented refugees. Most often, they're called illegals. Unlike our Syrian family, these people have not filled out the paperwork before they arrived in Canada, but now they're here anyway. What do we think of them and their situation? Well, I want to say two things, one kind of rooted in Scripture and one in Canadian law. So first, scripturally, we need to keep in mind that the word illegal is absolutely wrong. Illegal is a word, when applied to a person, that is meant to dehumanize that person, somehow make them less than fully human. They're not illegals, but they're humans. They're people who have as much a right to life, liberty, and happiness, to use an American expression, as anyone else in the world, and people who have as much right to seek life, liberty, and happiness as we have, because they were born human. Borders do not fundamentally change who people are in our eyes or in God's eyes. Each of the 50 million refugees in the world, each one, is our neighbor. Each one of them is exactly the kind of person that Jesus would die for. What is more, Jewish and Christian teaching suggests that refugees hold a place of honor because they are the moral test case for whether or not we really know how to embrace the least and the last. How we treat refugees is a measure not of the refugee, but of our humanity. So says Paul in one of the many long lists of rules that he has in his various writings in the New Testament. They're called house rules by biblical scholars. So says Paul, to poor Christians who are living under the shadow of empire, who hardly dare let others know who they are because it's so dangerous, so says Paul to these poor Christians in another era, contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. And then he adds, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. He says, do not be haughty. To these poor people, he says, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. That's the Christian reason, or at least the Christian perspective we bring to the refugee issue. But there's a second reason why refugees who show up at our doorstep are not actually illegals. You see, in fact, they are here legally. Refugees are permitted to enter into Canada in order to seek safety. The Canadian Council of Refugees puts it this way. International and Canadian law protect the right of refugees to flee to safety. Even if that means that technically these refugees enter the country in violation of normal immigration laws. What is illegal, according to Canadian and international law, is penalizing people for technically breaking immigration laws in order to enter Canada to find safety. Now, there's a big but here. I should add that I'm not primarily speaking about the estimated 400,000 people in Canada who are living as undocumented refugees. The fact that these people too are in Canada through all sorts of different means, I suppose that's worth another sermon sometime too. And I think that the principles that should guide our treatment of these undocumented Canadians is not that different than the biblical principles I just outlined a minute ago. But in terms of the law, they fall into a different category. But what I'm really speaking about today is our frustration that we're waiting for our family while other refugees are getting in over the border very quickly. The ones who've been in the news lately. What makes their case even more complicated is that the USA and Canada have a treaty called the Safe Third Country Treaty, which means that refugees cannot claim that status in Canada if they've passed through immigration in the United States. Then they have to make the claim there. Unfortunately, given the temporary ban on all refugee claims in the U.S. from six Muslim nations, the ones where most refugees are coming from these days, and given the anti-Muslim rhetoric of Donald Trump, and given the large increase in summary deportations without due process in the United States, the increased use of detention centers, which are really prisons, the criminalization of refugees rather than seeing them as human neighbors, given all these measures, nearly all refugees prefer to remain undocumented in the United States until they get to Canada, where they turn themselves in over to the police right away. The thing is, refugees who claim asylum after slipping into Canada, they are not jumping the queue. They are rather joining a different but legal queue in Canada, one that has its own lawful regulations, timelines, advantages, and disadvantages, apart from the one that our Syrian family stuck in. Like a person who applies income tax laws legally to minimize his or her tax liabilities, applying international and Canadian refugee law to minimize the danger of being sent back to the United States or their country of origin is absolutely legal. And while we have not waited 2 years in, while our refugees have waited for 2 years to have their claim approved and to get them here, that could easily be twice as long as how long some of these refugees who show up in Winnipeg have been on the road trying to seek safety and get to Canada. Still, it irks us. We are tempted to be legalistic and harsh on account of our love for order and predictability. It doesn't feel fair. We do as we're told, and our refugee family still isn't here. The recent Manitoba and Quebec refugees who show up in the woods, they don't have to wait. How do we handle that disappointment? Well, here's a parable to put the whole thing in perspective. Joey was almost 15 years old. His parents had to go away for the weekend. They agreed to let Joey stay at home for the first time alone. But they also set down some house rules. Joey, no parties, no drinking, take the phone messages, and clean up after yourself. Okay. Now, no one actually said to Joey that he couldn't take out his father's $12,500 Bianchi Ultra XR4 bicycle for a spin. But Joey knew the score. Dad's racing bike was off limits. So Joey didn't party when his parents left. He put the pizza boxes in the recycle bin, but the temptation to ride his dad's bike was too much. So Joey took it for a spin. While doing so, on the edge of a Walmart parking lot, Joey saw a little girl who seemed lost, and she was sobbing. Worse, she was wandering out from between the parked cars into the traffic lanes, and she was so short that drivers might run over her even before they saw her. So Joey stopped. He told the little girl that everything would be okay. When she couldn't say what her name was or where her parents were, Joey called 911 and stayed with the little girl until the police arrived. And unknown to Joey, in the meantime, an Amber Alert had been put out for this girl. Her parents, shopping, had thought, each of them, that the little girl was with the other. When they couldn't find her, they feared that she had been kidnapped and called the police. So anyways, the police reunited the parents with the little girl, and the parents thanked Joey profusely, and the police officers, they shook his hand and commended him for being a good citizen. Someone snapped a picture of the happy scene and posted it on Facebook. Naturally, it went viral. and Joey's parents saw the picture. And in the picture, they saw Dad's Bianchi Ultra XR4 racing bike lying on the ground. They confronted Joey about breaking the house rules. They were kind of angry. He had let them down. Or had he, really? Joey was also a hero. He broke the house rules, and even at that, merely the unspoken house rules. But Joey might also very well have saved a little girl's life when he could have ridden by and assumed that all was well. Fortunately, Joey's parents were wise enough to keep the whole matter in perspective. They knew that their focus had to stay on the main issue. The safety of that little girl. Now she's back with her parents. And about that, Joey's parents were happy and proud. Joey helped the little girl, and it had been the kind and honorable thing to do. And that is how it is with the refugees who show up on our borders. Of course, they shouldn't be loose in forests in a blizzard. Their evasions, like Joey's actions, their evasions by which they cross the United States illegally in order to enter Canada legally, might be worth a bit of ire, even if those evasions are technically legal from our perspective. We can be justifiably concerned that many who try to cross over into Canada even put their lives in danger. But these are not the main issues. The main issue is the safety of these people. They are at great risk. They are lost and alone in the world. They are, by Canadian and international law both, refugees. They are, by Christian teaching, our neighbors. And we can help, like Joey helped. It is the kind and honorable and right thing to do. Making Canada a good neighbor in the world community, not always seeking our selfish self-interest, that's a patriotic thing to do. And extending hospitality to strangers, like Paul said in our text, that's the Christian thing to do. In his own parable, the parable of the sheep and goats, Jesus said first this line about hospitality to strangers. And then Jesus added these words, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are all members of my family, you did it to me." And when it comes to queues full of nameless strangers, that's good enough for me. Amen.